Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin a Bible prophecy study titled, When Will the Rapture Happen? And we'll begin our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 57. It seems like every year there are false teachers and false prophets that draw away disciples unto themselves, claiming to know the date of the rapture or the end of the world. And each time we can unravel their claims and dismantle their specific errors. But the fact is, by simply understanding the basic Bible teaching of the imminent rapture, we can avoid ever being deceived by the next fad and false prophecy to come down the pike. And in this study, we see the clarity of biblical teaching on the rapture and when the Bible says the rapture will happen. Not a date, but a general understanding of its imminency. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now, we begin our Bible prophecy study titled, When Will the Rapture Happen? This is part one of two.
Good news is, you didn't actually miss the rapture. Still hasn't happened. But I'm going to straighten them out. I'm going to tell you this morning when it's going to happen. All right? You've come to the right place. And we're going to start over in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. I apologize if I look a little short this morning. Trust me, the sermon will not be short. I got to sit down. Teach on they call the pulpit the sacred desk. We call this the sacred throne. I'm sitting on it. This is one of the probably better known passages of when it comes to the rapture. And the idea that there is no rapture at all is nothing short of ludicrous. Amen. Believe it or not, there are people who claim to believe the Bible who teach there's no rapture. And the reason is because they don't have a literal hermeneutic. They're not dispensational for the most part. There is a group of people called amillennialists. Have you heard of amillennialists? They don't believe... you ain't been listening because I've been teaching it for years. But they don't believe in a coming thousand-year reign. That's why the word "ah" in front of the word, letter "a" in front of a word like agnostic, atheist. That means you don't believe in a theist. You're atheist. You don't believe in God. And "ah" millennialist means they don't believe in a millennium, which is just strange because the Bible says there's going to be one, but they don't believe in it. We're premillennialists because we believe what the Bible says literally, that Jesus is going to return and He's going to set up His kingdom on earth. That's why we're premillennialists, means we believe Jesus comes before the millennium to set up the millennium. You say, well, why do you have to say pre? Well, not only are there amillennialists who say they don't believe in the millennium at all, but there are postmillennialists. The postmillennialists think that the church, and this is just so funny, I mean, it's just so stupid it's funny, but they teach that the church is going to conquer the world with the gospel and set up a kingdom for 1,000 years, and at the end of that, Jesus comes back to say, good job. We are Bible literalists. We believe what the Bible says, and we're not going to make it a bunch of, you know, junk by just spiritualizing things, what they do. And the same thing is true of the rapture. The Bible is very clear that there's a rapture. There are some who believe it's not pre-trib and they want to put the church in the tribulation. We'll talk a little bit about that, but that's not really what the subject matter today isn't whether the what's wrong with the other versions. But it's to emphasize one of the reasons, the main reason we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture is because the Bible says it could happen at any moment. But there is going to be a rapture. We're going to start with that assumption. And if you've been indoctrinated in some of these other harebrained theories, you just have to bear with us Bible believers this morning as we take the Bible as it's written. So read verse 51 there with me. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now, at the time of the rapture, it says clearly there are going to be some people who are alive when it happens. It says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." So there's going to be people asleep, but not all of us. And there are a good number of Christians who are what the Bible says sleep. Now, when the Bible talks about that, that means their body is in the ground, but they, in their soul, their spirit, went to be with the Lord. We're going to get into that more in our study of Philippians. That to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Again, there are Christians who just refuse to believe that. But it says to be absent from the body. So there's coming a time that if you're not raptured and you die, you will be absent from your body. You will not linger in the coffin in what they call soul sleep or limbo. And by the way, that's the false teaching that gets a lot of people to try to conjure up the spirits of their departed loved ones. They think they're still here. They're not. Every loved one you know, everybody, including Elvis, the moment he died, the moment your loved one died, that person either went to be with the Lord or went to hell. Like the rich man, in hell he lifted up his eyes. Well, if you're alive at the time of the rapture, you'll be changed. That's an awesome thing to think about. Now read verse 52. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." You think Paul's trying to get it through your head that you're going to be changed? And isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? As I sit here this morning and teach, I can't wait to be changed. I want a new body. I want new lungs. I want a new brain. How many of you walk into a room and forget why you walked in there? Amen. So then you can join me in saying amen. I want a new brain. It says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye," and there have been preachers through the years who really belabor that point. How fast is that? Well, I'll tell you, it's faster than you can think. It didn't say wink. It's a twinkling of an eye. And a twinkling of an eye is in less than a millisecond. And they would go on and on. And that's interesting, but you know what? If it happens in 10 seconds, it'll still be fine with me. Now, by the way, there are some folks that I just want to tell you, I love these guys. They're Bible believers, but there's some folks actually teaching this idea that the dead Christ rise, but then walk around like for 40 days. And then we go up. And some people are calling it the zombie rapture. But they don't say they'll be walking around like this. You know? But I don't believe that. And I think that they really torture the Scripture to teach that kind of thing. But we do know that the dead rise first. From this text, even. Then the rest of us go up. All of us are changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. There are some people who are like, well, how fast is that going to happen? It's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You're not going to really, you know, there's actual rapture movies and internet GIFs and things that show the rapture, and you see people going up like, like this in the air. And they glow like they, you know, like a lightning bug. There's nothing biblical about that. And there's one movie where everybody turned into a little orb and you saw like a million little light bulbs going up into heaven. The Bible doesn't teach any of that. If you want to make a rapture movie, actually the one we watched not too long ago, Vanished, did it right. It's going to be... And hopefully, if it happens right now, no one's sitting here looking around. That's the main point. Yes, Sean?
You showed us several times the rapture video that takes place here in the sermon in church.
Yeah, and there are some people. Yeah. Yeah. And we ought to cover a lot of materials. Well, I'm not putting a lot of the little video clips, but there are some good ones out there. But now, pick up verse 53. It says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Your body right now is corrupt. Your body is fallen. Some of you young people don't feel it yet. You will. Just hold on tight. 25, 30, 35, you start to notice some things. And 40, you're like, oh man. And 45, you're like, okay, I'm ready to get off this ship already. And then you think these people are 80, 85, 90, 95, what they're... It's corrupt, and we must... This mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54 says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Amen. That's going to be the day. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And we, the Bible says, we are changed into His glory. Amen. That's why I sympathize with people who actually teach that we're going to be little gods. We're not in the real sense, but we... And there are some people, believe it or not, another group of people, and otherwise pretty sound doctrinally, they teach that we're all going to look exactly like Jesus. And somehow I'm going to know it's Chris or Jenny or Stephen by looking at them, even though they're going to look just like Jesus. That's the weird teaching that some people... I'm just preparing you for the fact there's some really strange stuff out there. I don't believe that at all. But what I do believe is I'll look at you and you will look like you, but in the most perfect way. I mean, no gray hairs. You'll have hair white like wool. You know? How many of you know that Jesus doesn't look like Kenny Loggins right now? The Bible says He has hair white like wool, eyes like fire, feet like brass, and so forth. That's what we're going to look like. And yet we'll still look like us in that form. We're in a glorified state, but it'll still be you. In 1 John 3:2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Right now you're saved. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be." Thank God this isn't all there is to it. Amen. "But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." If you weren't in a state of glory, you couldn't be in His presence. The immediate change of putting you into a state of glory is so that you can see Him and be in His presence. If God did not put you in a glorified body, you couldn't be in His presence. That's why when you hear some joker tell you that he's talked to Jesus and Jesus showed up at 2 a.m. and had a conversation with him at the foot of his bed or in that nonsense, they're liars. Because none of them ever say that he's in his glorified state, which he is. They always describe him like he looks like Kenny Loggins. And he doesn't. He's in his glorified state. Or Eddie Rabbit, or, you know, pick your dark-haired, and it's always a white dude. He's a Jew. He probably has a hook nose. His hair's probably curly and dark. He's got olive skin. Probably don't look anything like these country singers. Huh? Yeah, no, he'd speak Hebrew. But these guys tell these stories of this fake Jesus that talks to them. You know that they're liars because they never... And the other thing is, what if, you say, well, what if they said he was in his glorified state? Then they would have dropped dead when they saw him. Amen. You see? John, in Revelation, was actually transformed into a glorified state so that he could see all this. And poor John then was sent back into a mortal state and lived to be he lived longer than any of the other apostles too. It's like insult to injury after tasting glory. Well, the question isn't whether, but when will the rapture happen? And anybody who claims there's no rapture, just turn them off. Now, the order of events is given to us by Paul over in 1 Thessalonians. So turn over a few pages there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning verse 13. And you always hear these people say, well, I just don't think we can know. And I don't think we should make a big deal about this stuff. Well, you're a heretic. The Bible says in the first few words of verse 13 here, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. So some preacher stands up and says, well, I don't think we really need to worry about it. What's his name? Rick Warren, the Purpose-Driven Book. He says that in his book.
Purpose-driven garbage?
Yes, purpose-driven garbage. Purpose-driven life, purpose-driven... And they have, you know, Bibles and bumper stickers and T-shirts and everything else to make money off the suckers. And in that book, he tells you, you shouldn't even worry about this stuff. Rick Warren, you're a heretic.
Amen.
Any real preacher, any real man of God is going to encourage you to watch. Watch. And Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Rick Warren would have you to be ignorant. Paul would have you not to be ignorant. Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That's the difference between the Christian and non-Christian at a funeral. There's nothing wrong with mourning. There's nothing wrong with weeping. And don't run around showing how spiritual you are at a funeral by telling everybody, you shouldn't be crying, we know they're in heaven. Just shut up. Just do everybody a favor and stop trying to prove how spiritual you are.
Amen.
Jesus wept.
Amen.
Lazarus died and he was getting ready to raise him from the dead and he still wept. It's human and normal to weep and to grieve, but we don't weep as the unsaved who have no hope. See? We weep because we're going to miss them. I mean, we weep over people if they go to Europe for a month or something like that. Let alone they're dead and you're not going to see them again until you get to heaven. You're going to miss them. Nothing wrong with weeping. But we do not weep as others which have no hope. Why? He explains. Verse 14, read that with me. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. We know for a fact that every Christian who dies, immediately their soul goes to be with the Lord, their body's in the grave, and when Jesus comes back, look at verse 14, he rose from the dead because he was the first among many. And he, it says, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, the ones that are in heaven right now, he'll bring them with him. So when we're raptured, we don't just go up and see Jesus and angels. We get raptured, we go up and see all the departed saints who have died before us.
Amen.
Verse 15, read that. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That's just saying they go first. But it'll happen in a moment. So it's not like you're going to be on the waiting list. It's not like sitting in the drive-thru at McDonald's waiting for somebody to get their special burger without pickles or whatever. And you have to wait an extra 2 minutes and everybody acts like that's such a terrible wait. 2 minutes! You know, that's how people are. Well, God's going to pretty much accommodate you impatient people because there's no waiting. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And so verse 15 is just saying, they go first. Verse 16, read that. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And both those verses together just say that the rapture was a given. No one questioned whether there was a rapture. But Paul further explains the order. Tells you exactly how it's going to happen But it's all going to go down like that. Beginning with the bodies of deceased saints joining their spirit in the air. They are up there in a disembodied condition, but glory. No pain, no suffering. And their bodies will be raised. And just to answer a question real quick, it's no problem for God to get all of your molecules out of the ocean, or all of your molecules if you had been burned up in a fire. And even some, I don't believe it, we should be cremated. I don't like cremation. I think that we should have our bodies. But if someone's cremated, it's not going to send them to hell. Their body will still come up. It's no problem for God to take care of that. And so wherever your ashes, your dust to dust, ashes to ashes, as they say, no matter where you are, you've seen some people pay to have an airplane go up, and then some guy will hang off the wing and go, and then they're scattered over about four counties, and they go into the river and into the... God ain't going to have any problem gathering all that back up. If you think so, you got a little tiny God. My God's a whole lot bigger. Amen. Now verse 17 says, then, here's us. This is you. This is your future, unless you die before the rapture. But if you're alive at the rapture, read verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now isn't that wonderful? That's why Paul says in the next verse, wherefore comfort one another with these words. If your teaching of the rapture is not a comfort to you, there's something wrong with what you're being taught. And everybody who teaches a mid, pre-wrath, or post-trib rapture is teaching a theory that is not biblical and is not a comfort. Listen, folks, if you believe in a pre-trib rapture, you should still have plenty of stuff to get you through a hurricane or a tornado or a flood or whatever. You should still pay your bills. You should not run up your credit cards. You should still have shelter from a tornado if possible, which we need to work on. You should still have water sources if your water gets cut off. You should still have a generator with gasoline and all that. But not because you think you're going to go through the tribulation.
Amen.
You should have that just because it's common sense. You shouldn't want to be a mooch on everybody else when something bad happens. You know, that's the difference between Katrina and Harvey. At Katrina, you had all these Democrat mooches down in New Orleans, and they didn't know how to take care of themselves. And they immediately said, government, government, government. And when you saw what happened in Houston, they just said, when can we get back in there to start cleaning up? That's the difference. Don't believe me? Do a little study about it. Socialism produces lazy, apathetic slobs.
Amen.
And New Orleans is a socialist city. And Houston is almost as bad, but all those areas outside of Houston is totally different. The liberals get into all the big cities and ruin them. So the living saints are raptured and join the dead in Christ in the air with Jesus. So we're not worried about having to have a bunker and go through the tribulation period. That's a comfort. But if you don't believe that, then I expect you to live by faith and to demonstrate your faith. If you don't believe in a pre-trib rapture, I want to see your bunker. I want to see the food supply for 7 years, water supply for 7 years, first aid kit that has to include ways for you to sew yourself up when you get injured. You're not going to be able to go to the doctor unless you take the mark of the beast. You better have enough prescription medicine to get you through, because you won't be able to go to the doctor or get prescriptions or anything. And if you don't do all that, and you tell me that you don't believe in a pre-trib rapture, you're a lying hypocrite, what you are. And there's a lot of lying hypocrites in pulpits today who are up there just trying to make a buck off people, and they're trying to tell people Jesus can't come back at any moment. You've got to go through the tribulation. In the meantime, they haven't done a thing to get ready.
Yeah. Amen.
So you use a little common sense. When a politician gets up and tells you you need something, but then he doesn't seem to think he needs it, you ought to be smart enough to see you're being suckered.
Amen.
You needed Obamacare, but none of Congress went on it.
Right.
You got suckered.
Amen.
Amen. So, the rapture truth is a great source of comfort. Amen.
Amen.
Just a little reality check before we move on. This would not be a comfort if it required what I said, surviving the darkest, most evil period of human history man will ever know. If you don't understand what I just said, really, in real terms, you need to study history. You need to understand what it was like during the persecutions of Rome. You need to understand what it was like under Nero. You need to understand what it was like during the Dark Age. You need to understand what it was like under the Pope and the Inquisition. You need to go read Fox's Book of Martyrs. You need to read about the Holocaust. You need to read the ones that are R-rated, folks. Don't read the G-rated stuff. Read the real history. The one that tells you what really happened. Includes all the rape and all of the murder, all the blood, all of the abuse, they took people and treated them like guinea pigs. They'd inject them with stuff. They'd electrocute them just to see how they would respond. And some of you are saying, oh, I don't want to hear anymore. That's what I'm talking about. People don't understand. Jesus said that the tribulation period would be worse than anything we've ever had or experienced as human beings.
Amen.
And you can't even handle reading about the past. Think about that. You can't handle reading the unadulterated accounts of the wickedness of man in the past. And Jesus said, you ain't seen nothing yet. And you think you're going to go through that? That's not a comfort, folks. The only people comforted by this false teaching on the post-trib rapture or mid-trib, pre-wrath, whatever, the only people comforted are ignoramuses. People who don't even know what you're saying when you think you're going to go through that. Let's look at Revelation 6 for a second. I want to look first at verses 16 and 17. This is how bad it's going to be. These people are living through the tribulation, dying in the tribulation, suffering. Verse 16 says, "And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the" who? Do you know that's your precious, sweet little Jesus right there killing a bunch of people?
Amen.
If you're being taught about this little effeminate, limp-wristed Jesus who never kills anybody, never does anything like that, you got the wrong Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is long-suffering. He wants to save you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if you choose to side with the devil, you'll die like the devil. Amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 17. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, my point in this is that there are people out there teaching that the reason Christians will go through part of the tribulation is because the first part isn't His wrath. And what you need to do is use the Scripture to test those people.
Amen.
And remember what it says in verses 16 and 17. Look what it says in verse 17 again. For the great day of His wrath, that's the wrath of God, the wrath of the Lamb, the great day of His wrath is come. Not is coming. Not is about to come. Everything you read about in Revelation 6 is the wrath of God. The wrath of God is come. What do I mean? Well, go back to the beginning of Revelation 6 there. And people don't think in these terms, but this is the reality. Verse 1 says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see." Now look at verse 2. "And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him." And look what it says. "He went forth conquering and to conquer." That white horse is the Antichrist.
Amen.
You want to know how bad some of the seminaries have gotten? They teach that's Jesus.